Between the Covers, the Literature Quickie on your community radio station, WCOM LP Chapel Hill. And Carbra, this is Tofu Dave Bellin, and today I'm here with Daniel Stone, the food explorer, with the story of a food explorer. Daniel, do I have you on the line?
You do. Thanks for having me.
Yes, wonderful. You're coming out with a new book that I just read, The Food Explorer. It's the subtitled The True Adventures of the Globe-Trotting Botanist Who Transformed What America Eats. I guess from that you also are a food explorer. And can you tell us who this is about? Because it sure opened my eyes. I didn't know much of the story here.
Sure. This is the story of David Fairchild, a government agent, food spy at the turn of the 20th century, who roamed all over the world to find exotic crops, new foods that didn't exist in the U.S. And this was really important because most of the foods we eat today are not from here, right? Our apples come from Kazakhstan. Our oranges come from China. Our bananas from New Guinea and our grapes from Eastern Europe. So when you think of how all those things got here and into our markets, it was the work of people like David Fairchild who roamed the world to acquire these new foods.
And he was a little, in a way, offbeat, it seemed to me, reading the book, even though you describe him as a government worker. He seemed to be quite an independent character and off on his own, really, roaming the world for quite a while. Is that true?
That is exactly right. He was a young man who grew up in Kansas, not very refined, not very worldly, who was clumsy and awkward at first. And he just wanted to travel, and he loved plants. Those were his two passions. So he eventually worked his way to Washington and eventually made the case that he wanted to roam around the world in service of the government and to do the work that farmers needed, which was to diversify the American farm, to diversify agriculture.
Right. And he found seeds, plants, cuttings all over the world, managed to ship them back, and then in D.C. there were a team of agricultural workers who would set up experimental farms and plant them and work with farmers to see what would grow well and what they could commercialize. It was quite an interesting story.
He had a lot of success doing this. I mean, I'll give you some examples. He picked up avocados in Central and South America. He picked up mangoes in parts of India and the Indian Ocean. He picked up kale in Croatia and seedless grapes in the Caucasus.
Right. And kale was a plebeian food, you describe it as, whereas today we associate it with really sort of, both. I mean, kale's fairly inexpensive, but then I go into Whole Foods and oh, there's all this fancified kale, if I can call it that.
Kale, yeah, is a food of working people. It's a cabbage that grows very quickly. It helps firm the soil. It takes the salt out of the soil, and it's very difficult for it to stop growing. And that was the case for centuries. It was the result of some food research, nutrition research, and marketing in about the 90s that led to the boom in this kale moment that we're having now.
And Daniel, let me get back to avocados for a second, because I love avocados, as do many people. And I have friends who work at the post office. In fact, a good friend of mine is a retired letter carrier. And it was fascinating to me that the guy you write about got avocados mainly from Chile to the States. And he found many different avocados. But I may have misread it, but one particular kind of avocado really caught on in our country that is ubiquitous now. It's now actually sort of gone back south to Mexico, where many of them are grown. But if I understood right, the real popularity of this particular avocado was due to a postal worker. Is that true?
Yes. It's a great, great story. Fairchild picks up a new variety of avocado in Chile in 1899. He brings it back to the U.S. Those seeds are sent out to California, where there's a good climate to grow avocados, and people start loving avocados. They grow them, they eat them, restaurants use them. Mm-hmm. And a postal carrier, you're right, named Rudolf Haas in Fallbrook, California, started experimenting with just growing different seeds. And one of them sprouted in a way that was superior, right? The tree was a little straighter, the fruit grew a little faster, and the flesh was smoother. And eventually a friend of his who was a lawyer said, you need to patent this. And he patented the first Haas avocado in 1935.
Now it's everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. And grown mostly in Mexico now and imported back to the U.S., where rates of consumption and interest continue to rise every year.
Now, what was Fairchild's biggest failure, do you think?
He would say his biggest disappointment and failure was the mangosteen. Have you ever tried a mangosteen?
No, I have not.
No, and most people haven't. I only did once. It's a fruit of the Indian Ocean, of around Indonesia. Mm-hmm. It's a small purple fruit. It's not related to a mango at all. It's purple. It's got white flesh. It is delicious, very sweet. But the problem is it's got a very thin peel. It ripens very fast. It bruises very easily, and it doesn't have a long shelf life. So it doesn't really have the credentials, a strong resume to have survived as a fruit growing in the U.S., and it never caught on.
He loved it, but it went nowhere. The Food Explorer, new book out by Daniel Stone, who we're talking with. And Daniel, we only have a couple minutes now. I'd like to turn, if you will, for a moment to yourself. You live in Washington, D.C., but you love botany, you love to grow things, you obviously love food. So the two obvious questions to be would be, number one, why D.C.? And number two, I looked at your picture on the book, and you're managing to stay in good shape. How do you do that and enjoy food so much?
You're kind. I grew up so fascinated by farming. I went to school in Northern California. I worked on farms. I worked for a farmer. I got a job offer from a farmer growing peaches, and I turned it down because I wanted to move to Washington to be a reporter. Uh-huh. It was quite a different path, and I thought I'd only do it for a few years. But finally, I found this path where I could write about farming, about food. And I could enjoy some of the trends going on all over the world. And eventually I found this story about a fascinating man who had made fruit and exploration his job.
Well, you really bring him to life. I highly recommend it to community radio listeners to get a copy at the library or anywhere you buy books like Flyleaf in Town, The Food Explorer by Daniel Stone, just out. Great book. Daniel, thank you so much for your time and illumination and for putting in the effort to bring this story to light. It's a wonderful story. Thank you.